tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 reads this way. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the riches of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight asking, Lord, for your blessing on your word tonight, and asking, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified to reveal your truths to us. Open up our hearts and minds to hear from you, and we'll give you the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight, the title of the message is simply, "Men Who Hold the Truth in Unrighteousness." Men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. As we started our text here, we find that Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Do you think Paul ever received any criticism for preaching the gospel? Remember where he was from now. Remember, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he turned his back on rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ to receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And he ran with a group, and he was educated by a group who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was criticized, and he came to this understanding that their hearts and minds were blinded. And we're going to see this here. And tonight, basically, as we consider this portion of Scripture, God is wanting the believer, I think, to understand, and also the lost person to consider their ways that they have blinded themselves, chosen to blind themselves from the truth and believing the truth. So he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Notice this in verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness." Here it is. "Of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So there are those that, and I don't understand it, and we can ponder as to why this is done by the hearts of individuals. Well, we know that the heart of man is sinful, filled up with pride. And if you look at Satan, believe it or not, the Bible says before the Lord became our Heavenly Father, before God became our Heavenly Father, who was our father? It was Satan, wasn't it? Right? Your father, the devil. And that's what happens, really, because we're born in sin. Now God's intent is that nobody perish, but that all come to repentance and become his children. But we're going to just consider just a couple of things tonight here, and that is two righteousnesses, but really only one. There's only one righteousness, but the world thinks it has its righteousness. Maybe I should say the righteousness of the world and the righteousness of God. And then secondly, and that's going to be verses 16, 17, and 18 here. And then lastly, we're going to look at men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, and that's verses 18 through 25. And so man contemplates and considers his own way and seeks to discover himself. And Paul said, you know, I came to this crossroad in my life as to which path I was going to walk. I was either going to continue to walk in my own ways, or I was going to choose to walk in God's ways. Now, God interrupted his day and intervened on his behalf to get Paul to see the truth, did he not? I am convinced God intervenes in all of our lives to get our attention. Paul could have, even after God had knocked him off his horse, he could have, after he regained his sight, could have just gave up on everything concerning the Lord, but he didn't do that. God gave a strong witness to Paul, and God also has given you and I a strong witness, and that is his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might also know the truth. So look at verse 16. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And he says, why? "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So there's no difference between Jew or Gentile. And then he says, "For therein, in that itself, is the righteousness of God revealed." In the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God has been revealed. Jesus came and died and shed his blood to impart to you and I
His righteousness, not our own. So if God had to send His Son to give us His righteousness, what other righteousness can there be? There is no other. Now, man has their own righteousness, do they not? Mankind. And again, their righteousness is not the righteousness of God. And they, even people that shake their fist at God and that curse God, they think, the Bible says, when the God's people turned away in the book of Judges, that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And believe it or not, those who are in defiance to God believe they're right. They believe they're right. Now I think some of them choose this road. Ready? There is no God. Whew, I just took the sting out of death. Did you see that? I don't have to worry about anything now. But that's a lie, isn't it? Because they are going to be confronted with eternity, and it's gonna wallop them right upside their head with a truth that's going to be unbearable. That didn't have to be, but it was their choice. They made that choice and said, you know what? I am saying no to God. And then he says here in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God. And then he says how it comes from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith, or trusting in the Lord. Now, once again, when we consider this, it is not God's way. It's in the mind of man, the worldly man, that Christians believe in an invisible, when you can't touch it, when you can't feel it, intangible God. But that's not what we do. We have an experience that God brings us into, and we watch Him do things that only He can do. And again, the Old Testament and the New Testament is filled with God confirming our faith. So look at Peter. Peter saw things during the Lord's earthly ministry, did he not? That the Lord was doing. The first miracle that the Lord did was at the wedding, right? When he turned the water into wine. And the servants saw it, and the servants knew there was no denying. They knew they put water in the pot, and it got changed to something that only God could do. The world would say every excuse in the book. They were in on it, right? I like what some say. Some skeptics say, the Lord really never rose from the dead. And meanwhile, you've got this crazy group of people that had their world turned upside down, that went out boldly proclaiming the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because why? It was a lie. In other words, they had that boldness to preach a lie. I'll tell you how I feel about it, and I think these fishermen would have been the same way. If somebody proclaimed to be something he wasn't and lied to me, I'd have no more to do with them. Wouldn't you? I'd say, that's it. I've been deceived. How do you feel about a shyster who robs you, who does and takes advantage of you and tries to sell you something, and it's a lie? You've heard of people back in the 70s and in the 80s. These people, I don't know how they would get shipments in or what have you, and they'd want to sell you a brand new television, only for people to buy it at an unbelievable steal, and it was, because it was stolen. But it was worse than that. It was just a case filled with rocks. And they'd get home thinking, oh, I got such a deal, and couldn't figure out why it wouldn't turn on. And I wouldn't go back to that person to buy anything, would you? And so likewise, listen, it would be an impossibility, I think, for these people to be that committed, the disciples to be that committed to a lie, to further, how would you say, promote a lie to people that you know what I'm saying? That listen, it spread like wildfire. The church was growing because of the work that God was doing. Pentecost was not a lie. It was the empowering of the church. And the church and the people in the church knew it. Now the world looks on and says, that's not true. That's a bunch of hogwash. And that's only because they've not had a personal experience with the Lord. But we have. And Paul says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Paul knew what he had experienced. God wants you and I to know what we believe in. He doesn't want us just to, I think this is what I believe in, and I think this is the truth. He wants us to know. So let's look at the last thought. These are two righteousnesses, or a righteousness of the world and the righteousness of God, but really there's only one, at least for sure, that saves, and that's the righteousness of God. By the way, the righteousness of the world brings no peace, and it brings no joy. It brings a temporary, fabricated relief of judgment, but it's fake, because when we leave this life, they know the truth. And I'm reminded of the rich man and Lazarus. As soon as he died, and the Bible doesn't say that the rich man was a vulgar man. In fact, he even allowed Lazarus to be at his gate that he might receive the food. He may have even been, maybe he threw him some extra food, knowing that he was there to you know, be kind or what have you. But the problem is that he did not know the Lord. All right, last thought here. Men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And here we see the wrath of God. Notice this in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed. Now notice this. The righteousness of God is revealed too. Did you see that in verse 16? The righteousness of God is revealed to the saved. But the wrath of God also is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They pervert and they twist the truth and they lie about the truth. Those people aren't happy either, in all actuality. Those people aren't happy either. How do you know? How do you know? Well, listen to their conversation. Listen to the conversation of the ungodly, those who have rejected the Lord. They're very vulgar. They're very self-centered. And they are very angry people. It follows suit. I'm friends with some of them. Some of my relatives fall into that category. And if you scrutinize their life, they even know it. They even know it. So the wrath of God is revealed. The child of God is a different creation altogether, are they not? They're supposed to be. I like it. Listen, I like it. And it was almost every time I go to visit my parents, they say something about my kids, the behavior of my kids. And it makes me happy, you know. It makes that they've been brought up differently than the way the world is brought up. I never forgot one time. We had just moved to Texas. Two, 3 years we were in Texas, and we were invited to a political rally of but there were politicians that were there, and there must have been about maybe 30 people. It was at a dinner, and anyway, I had all my kids there, and Jessica maybe was 16, 17, so right around there, and then Josiah, I don't even know if you remember it, but he was little, he don't remember it. And anyway, I didn't know who this person was. He was a politician. He sat just a couple of seats over from me, and I was on the back, and I had the opening prayer and the closing prayer that I did for that meeting. And so I was listening to what they were saying. I don't know how much my kids really cared about what was being said at that. I don't know if they had any interest. I certainly wouldn't have at that age. But anyway, on my way out, the politician, I don't even remember his name, introduced himself to me. And he said, I want you to know that I am impressed with your kids, how they sat there. I think it was like 2 hours. And I thought, I will never do that to them again. But they sat there. I mean, we had a meal, and then they spoke maybe for a little over an hour. And anyway, forgive me, but I was pleased that they were well behaved. But I did not even acknowledge that, because that was who they are. And when he brought that out, I told them what the fellow said. I said, you know, that was so-and-so. I don't know who he was. Politician or what have you. And he commented on how well-behaved you all were tonight. And I just wanted you all to know that. But anyway, we ought to be different than the world. Not just children, but you and I, as Christian adults, we ought to be the salt of the earth. And we ought to bring the Spirit of God into everything that we do and that we say. And remember who we represent. We are ambassadors for Christ. And the world needs to see there is a contrast. Even if they reject it, may we stand bold, trusting by faith, trusting the promises of God, even for what we might experience. May we die to self, and that's a daily battle. May we die to self for the honor and glory of the Lord. Now, I'm just going to make this statement. You don't have to acknowledge this. I don't want you to acknowledge this, but or make this question here. Are you not ever at different times made mad, angry, when people do things or say things or treat you certain ways? But you have to remember, and I hope we always remember, because I'm flesh and blood too. Things can get under our skin, but more important than anything else is our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. May we walk circumspectly with that thought in mind. All right. So as we consider here, we see the wrath of God. It's also revealed as well as the righteousness of God. And then we find a personal revelation of God to everyone. Look at verse 19 here. Because that which may be known of God, it's not hidden, is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. I want you to know that everybody who shakes their fist at God has been given a personal revelation. That's important. Why are you and I saved? Because listen, we have been given a personal revelation. And people of all walks of life have been given a personal revelation. There's the vulgar scoundrel. But I want you to know, in the world, there's also the very polite individual with good integrity. Integrity is not a Christian trait. It should be. In other words, it should represent who we are. But there are very good worldly people. When I say worldly, people who don't know the Lord that have good integrity. But I want you to know, as kind and as malevolent as they might be, they have been given a personal revelation of God, of His judgment, and they rejected it. All right, so notice again verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. That's a personal revelation. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, listen, are not obscurely seen, but clearly seen, being understood. Oh, they just don't understand. That's not true. They understand. They understand that they are rejecting God. And whatever lie the devil used to get them to buy into, whatever lie they bought, it's still a deception, and they turned away from the Lord. So he says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God said it, I didn't. And I want you to know I've got friends and family that are in this camp. So I don't say it lightly. I don't say it lightly, but I'm saying it because God said it. And God is wanting us to know they are without excuse. I didn't say it, God did. I'm going to say it again. They are without excuse. God is, even though they can't see Him, He is still God. He is the one who spoke everything into being. Listen, we have our bodies. We have our health. We have our intellect from God. Everything we have, there are no self-made men or women. No self-made. You have been given everything you have by the Lord. You may not understand that. You may not fully comprehend and receive that, but everything we've been given comes from the Lord. And God wants us to know that. And we ought to thank the Lord. You know, I am so thankful, Lord, that You made me who I am. There are some things that maybe I would like to change, but nonetheless, You gave me life, physical life, and then You gave me eternal life. And for that, I thank You that I have an existence. I don't think it works this way, but I'm so glad God didn't make me, you know, a cow. Well, you still got life. Yeah, but I don't want to be on somebody's table. Amen. You know? I'm so glad God, and God, listen, God, and I was never destined to be a cow. I was never destined to be some farm animal to be on. I was always destined in the mind of God to be who I am. And so are you. You have always, it's not this, well, you could have been. No, you would have never been anything but what you are, because that's what God intended you to be. It was no luck of the draw that you just happened to be who you are. God in eternity past said, I'm creating you. And at this time, and for this purpose, I have created you. And to glorify me. Isn't that amazing? That God had created each and every one of us with everything that he has equipped us and given to us and promised us as well. All right. So he says the invisible things reveal through the creation, and they are without excuse, the unbelievers. And then as we consider verse 21, I want you to see a personal rejection of God. We see a personal revelation of God to everybody and everyone. I want you to see a personal rejection of God. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, that's powerful. Now, what does that mean? They didn't know him through salvation, but they did know him to be the creator of the world. Everybody in this world has given respect to a creator at one point in time. However long, I don't know. You know, maybe some lost that idea or trust that God created everything or rejected it. At age 7, I don't know. Age 10, well, I don't know. Age 15, 25, 35, I don't know. But the Bible is telling us here that they knew God and chose not to glorify him. So, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Look at this process, ready? Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, right? And they became unthankful. I deserve more. I'm not treated right. Where's the focus? On myself. If you look at the lost person, ask yourself, when you hear them speak, where is their focus? Who are they thinking about? It's not others. It's not others. You hear about people that, it's amazing how people talk about how other people ought to give, but not themselves, right? How other people ought to be benevolent, but not themselves. And so, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and then they became vain. What is vanity? When you say that person's vain, who are they thinking about? Themselves. And that's where we go. In their imaginations. And then it says their foolish heart was darkened. And then what do? They profess themselves to be wise. They became fools. And so, and how do they profess themselves to be wise? They find other people that are like-minded to point fingers at those crazy Christians. I promise you, less than a second after this life, they're going to see how wise we really were to choose the Lord. And how foolish they were to reject him when they see their condemnation. Now, I don't wish that on any of these people, but I think God is wanting us to understand how this all works. They've all been given a revelation, and they've all rejected already. I was taught that God made everything. I was taught that we must pay for our sins, that there was an atonement that was made. And now, you know, if you ask the same people that brought me up, my parents, you know, not so much my mom, but no, there's no God, you know, or at least, and then I'm like, well, you know, where's that coming from? What happened? Well, somehow we convince ourselves, and maybe excuse ourselves because of what we allowed. Maybe in our own personal lives that maybe nobody knows about, and our own thinking and our own processes maybe doing some things that are not honorable before the Lord, and so we make an excuse, and that's basically really the bottom line of rejecting the Lord, because God shines the light, and mankind without God loves the darkness more than they do the light, because the light exposes. And so, and I don't say that unkindly. I say that as a matter of fact concerning the Word of God. How do we come to grips with what is going on? Because we love our loved ones that don't know the Lord. We're not wishing them any ill will. We love our friends that don't know the Lord. But this is what we're contending with, and we need to understand maybe how to better pray for them. Lord, open up. They've already, oh Lord, you know, let me petition, you know, for their salvation, God. But ultimately, it's between them and the Lord. But it's never wrong to say, God, open up their eyes and their hearts that they might receive the truth. So it says that they're professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And by the way, in doing that, they're going to mock the believers. They're going to, they have to do that. Do you see that? They have to do that to appease their conscience. They have to say that we believe in fairy tales. One guy, and this was back when we were doing sermons on during COVID online, and they were on YouTube. And so one guy, I don't know what he said, but he used, and he was bringing in his evolutionary theory, you know, and I had a couple of back and forths with him, you know, trying to explain to him some things. And he doesn't even know me, right? But he said, my brains have fallen out of my head. You know, he just made these negative comments, and I was trying to be kind to him. And I said, well, you know, you'll have to make your own choice. I know what I have not just only believed in, but experienced. And he took that word believe, and he said, isn't that interesting? The word lie is right in the middle of the word belief. Oh, that was so intelligent, wasn't it? That was so smart. What do you believe in? Evolution? Well, gee, if you believe in evolution, isn't the same word lie in there too? Believing in something and that little word lie have nothing to do with each other in context. You know, it's something that you put your faith and trust in, something that you believe in. And it doesn't mean that it's a lie just because that little word. Listen, God allows us to discover what we're looking for. You understand that? If you're looking to disprove God, you will find it at every turn. The devil will make sure to it. It's not the truth. You invite the devil. You think the devil likes us to believe a lie? Why, he's the first one he's the father of lies. And that's how we fell. So, I didn't comment after the third comment. I was finished, unfortunately, and I think I said, I'll pray that the Lord opens up your eyes so you can believe the truth. I don't know, and I meant that sincerely. But how do you say in his mind, anything you believe in is a lie? I don't understand that. But anyway, professing themselves to be wise, he was so smart, and you wind up a fool anyway. And in verse 23, it says here, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and of, listen, and to birds and four-footed beasts and to creeping things. And this is true. The real God was not made into this image. They created this image of God. So they come up with these really brilliant ideas. Well, if God made everything, who made him? Oh, wow, that's so impressive. Well, no, it isn't. It's foolishness because God is not part of creation. He's outside of it. And just because our little minds can't grasp that doesn't mean that that's not the reality of it all. I mean, listen, they want to believe that an explosion took place and everything came into existence. Where did that energy come from? Where did that energy come from? Nothing exploded? When have you ever seen, and they call that science, when have you ever seen nothing explode? That makes a lot of sense. And not only did nothing explode, but nothing that exploded created everything. And you want to believe that? And that's foolishness. That's just foolishness. And so they become fools, unfortunately, and that's not what God wants us. I am so thankful. I was taught that in the fifth grade. Mrs. Nottage, I don't know why I'm reminiscing about school today, but anyway, fifth grade, Mrs. Nottage, first time I ever was taught evolution, and I was like, really? But you know, that really never sunk in and distorted my belief that God created everything. I was trying to learn and trying to grasp this concept here. I remember thinking, man, you know, I mean, I can see what they're, you know, we kind of look like apes a little bit, you know, we got arms, ears, you know, and but it just never really made sense to me. Anyway, so this is the personal rejection of the Lord, and again, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God in their mind into an image made like unto corruptible man. They have to do that. To birds and four-footed beasts and to creeping things to justify themselves. And then notice the last thought here under the men who hold the truth and unrighteousness is the consequence of changing the truth of God into a lie, into believing this. So verse 24, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through their lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God says, okay, this is the path you've chosen. This is the one that you want. You've got it. You want to go in this route? This is where you're going to go. And my goodness, this is more prevalent today than ever before. It is a sad commentary. What has been taking place in public education to our children. The state has no children. Parents have children. And they think that they have the right to do this. And I don't know if you know what's happened in Florida, a little current event here. But the governor has seen fit to say that just pre-K to third grade, stop teaching them about sex. It's not your job. And if you look at the teachers that were doing that, they were perverted. And they had an agenda that they were trying, and you confuse those kids. Man, my goodness, leave them alone. Boys don't even think about that till they're 21. No, I don't know. Anyway, 15, 16, who knows? But they confuse them, so God gives them over to that. And my goodness, people jumped on the bandwagon because they misunderstood what was said, and they're still championing. They think that the bill says don't say gay, and the word gay is not even in the bill. It just simply says do not teach sexual orientation of any kind to people that are below third grade and below. I think it ought to be let the parents do that. They don't need you to teach them what you think how things ought to take place, and let the parents do that. You're no scholar just because you've been educated to educate. Do your job. Teach them reading, writing, arithmetic, and history and geography and things of that nature. And leave other things to parents and stop overlording things. And so, believe it or not, listen, COVID has been an eye-opener in more than one way, really. And maybe if that didn't happen, I think maybe a lot of parents would have thought, what we all would have thought, well, they're teaching them the same thing I learned. And I'm not saying all teachers are like that. I'm sure there's a lot of good teachers that are in the public school system. But when the public school system is broken and bent on teaching these things, it's a hard way to go. So, verse 24, wherefore God gave also them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And then notice who changed, this is the last verse, who changed the truth of God into a lie. So somebody's lying, and it's not the Lord. It's the devil and those who reject God and change the truth. He's the father of lies, so they truly are the children of their father, the devil, because he's the father of lies and was a murderer from the beginning, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They serve the creation, the creature, more than the Creator. You stop and think about what the lost people live for. Just this life. Just the creation. That's it. And they listen, they're hoping, they're praying, and they're wishing that they're right. Because they don't want to face judgment. And that's where the bottom line. They are unwilling. I remember witnessing years ago to a friend of mine. And I believe he was under conviction when he said this, why he was serious and a little excited. Why does God have to judge? Because he's holy and he's righteous. And we aren't. And he's come to present us with that truth that we're undone. But he loved us so much that he gave us his son to give to us his righteousness. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So tonight when we consider the world, God wants us to know what we're up against, that we might reach them. God wants us to, and I say that, and I get a little emotional when it comes to what our kids are being taught, because it's wrong and it's a detriment to their outlook. But I still don't want one individual that has been caught up in teaching that lie, because they have bought that lie, to miss out on heaven, to miss out on salvation. Why? Because I know but for the grace of God, I could have rejected him. And yet, you know, the Lord opened up my eyes, and the same way God opened up our eyes, may he open up the eyes of our loved ones and our friends, that they might receive the truth as well. But God is gracious, and God is also very good and merciful. And may we never forget that, but know what we're up against. And so when you see it, you and I will never argue anybody into eternal life. God has to open up their hearts and minds. And you might point that out to them in the book of Romans chapter 1. You might want to, if you want to read something about what we are without God and who we are without God, read Romans chapter 1, and you will be surprised to find who we are without God. And listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Maybe that will be what it takes for them to see that need. I don't know. But praise the Lord that we've trusted Christ as our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the wisdom and the understanding that it brings. Bless, Lord, Northwood Baptist Church. May you do a work in our hearts and minds that will draw us closer to you and to one another. May we be found faithful when you return, and live a life empowered by your grace that will have no regrets. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.